Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, Kick the Old Woman Out. We are beginning our series in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 30, so you might want to take a moment now, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 and the 30th verse, and it's from that verse that we get our topic, Kick the Old Woman Out, for this month's series of studies. So I would encourage you to have your own copy of God's Word there, get that passage and all the other passages that we turn to today as we conclude our study. As you're getting your Bibles, I will remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program today, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us. If you have questions or comments about what you hear on the program today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to get those out to you without any cost or obligation. This will be today, the final week that we offer this month's series of studies. So if you have been listening for the month, or if you missed a couple messages during the month and you'd like to receive them, be sure to get our contact information down at the end of the program. Right now, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Galatians 4 and verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. We've been studying this month the problem at Galatia. And as we've been telling you each week, in order to understand the significance of casting out the bondwoman and her son, we need to understand the problem that was happening at the churches of Galatia. The problem happening in the churches of Galatia is that they were perverting the gospel of Christ. Chapter 1 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calls you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel in verse 6, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is being perverted. It's not being eliminated per se. In other words, no one is saying get rid of the gospel of Christ, but that gospel of Christ is being changed so as to pervert it, so as to make it something different than what it should have been. And we see what that is in chapter 3, verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That's the question at hand. Is your salvation perfected by the works and the efforts of your flesh, or is it completely a gift of God? Does your righteousness come in part by God's grace and in part by your works, or is it completely a gift of God's grace? And of course, Paul asked that question in Galatians chapter 3, a rhetorical question. The answer to it is no, God forbid, perish the thought that having begun in the Spirit, I'm now made perfect by the flesh. That can never be the case. In order to illustrate that, Paul in chapter 4 uses an allegory. Verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which two things are an allegory? And the sons and the women that had those sons to Abraham represent for us an allegory about the righteousness of God as a gift and as a promise, and the righteousness coming by the works and the efforts of the flesh. We've seen those two women and their sons. The father, of course, of both of these sons is Abraham. Abraham had a son by his wife Sarah. That son is Isaac. Abraham also had a wife by Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. That son is Ishmael. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that these two women and their sons by Abraham illustrate to us this point that he's making about the promise and the gift of God and the works of the flesh, and how the promise and the gift of God can never be mixed with the works of the flesh. That's really the problem in Galatia. The problem in the churches of Galatia is not eliminating the promise and the gift of God. Rather, it is mixing it with the works and the efforts of the flesh. The message in Galatia is, don't throw away your faith in Christ, but add to your faith in Christ circumcision and the law. Add to your faith in Christ, we read back in Acts chapter 15. In fact, let's just turn back there just for a moment. We haven't looked at it since the first week of our study. Back in Acts chapter 15, you read the message that was being proclaimed to these Gentile converts of Paul, these ones that had believed the gospel, the grace of God. Back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the people encouraging the Gentiles, demanding in fact that the Gentiles do that, were not unbelievers. They were not people that did not understand who Christ was or understand His death on the cross or understand that He came to give His life a sacrifice and a ransom. They were the Pharisees that believed. If they hadn't been the Pharisees that believed, Paul and Barnabas would not have been meeting with them. The Pharisees that didn't believe, the Pharisees that were unbelieving, were persecuting the church of God, persecuting Peter and the other apostles. They had killed James, the apostle, by this time. They're also persecuting Paul in his ministry to the Gentiles. Certainly Paul would not have been meeting with that group. No, the Pharisees that he met with were the Pharisees that were a part of that little flock that had believed. In Israel, they believed that kingdom gospel. They understood who Christ was. And even those Pharisees that believed, who understood who Christ was, are saying these Gentiles that are hearing the gospel of the grace of God from Paul, they must be circumcised and they must keep the law of Moses. Their salvation must be perfected by the works of the flesh. Yes, we understand Christ died. Yes, we understand some of the meaning of that death, but yet, in spite of that, the works of the flesh must be added. And Paul writes to the churches of Galatia and he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Do you really believe that having begun in the Spirit, you can now be made perfect by the flesh? And the answer to that is, God forbid, no. And then this analogy, this allegory, Sarah and Isaac, Hagar and Ishmael, this will illustrate, Paul says, what I mean. You tell me, you that desire to be under the law, you that desire to circumcise and keep the law of Moses, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law is teaching? Do you not see this allegory of these two women and their sons and the message that that proclaims? Back to Galatians chapter 4. These two women and their sons are going to demonstrate the futility of the law and the futility of trying to bring about righteousness by the works of the flesh. We saw last week that, and in the past 2 weeks in fact, that Sarah and Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac was produced, God touched the womb of Sarah and enabled her to conceive a child with Abraham in her old age. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old, she was able to conceive a child, a son, Isaac, a supernatural child. Not supernatural in the sense of Christ, that Christ's birth, that it was a virgin birth, but supernatural in the sense of the fact that Sarah's womb was barren and God touched that womb and enabled her to bear a son, Isaac, the son of promise. Ishmael, on the other hand, and Hagar, that was 100% the scheme cooked up by Abraham and Sarai. That, you know, perhaps the way that we can help God along is that Abraham will go in and he will have a son by my handmaid Hagar. And that'll be the way that we get a child. It was Abraham's idea. It was Abraham's plan. And if you keep your hand here in Galatians 4, let's just go back there to Genesis. And last week we saw the verse that really shows us the danger of the works of the flesh. Even though Abraham was a man of great faith, even though Abraham was a man that had left everything that he knew and followed God into another land, even though Abraham was a man who believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, in chapter 15, verse 6, by chapter 17, he says this, when God reaffirms the promise and says, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son, Abraham laughs at God. He mocks God. Oh, Lord, you got to be kidding. Shall a man that's 100 years old bring father a child, and shall a woman that's 90 years old bear? It can't happen. And then he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, that the works and the efforts of my flesh might live before thee. You see, Abraham, that man of great faith, even faithful Abraham, when confronted with the choice between let God do it and accept what God has done, or parade your own works and your own righteousness before God and try to get him to accept your efforts, what did Abraham do? Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He put forth the works of his own flesh, his own efforts. And Paul says that's illustrating for us the promise and the gift of God and the efforts and the works of the flesh. And he says back in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 29, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so is it now. Paul says, you know, back then, when you had one son born of the Spirit, born of promise, and you had another son born of the flesh, back then, the son that was born of the flesh persecuted the son that was born of promise. The son of the flesh didn't like the son of promise, because the son of promise was the one that had the promise. He was the one that was going to receive the inheritance and the birthright and be the heir to the promise. And the son of the flesh was not. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 16 and verse number 4, you see the beginnings. Verse 3, let's start. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And when he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. You know, Sarah acts all upset now because her handmaid despises her. Now that Hagar has conceived a son with the master of the house, Abraham, she despises her mistress, Sarah. Why? Well, if the handmaid is carrying the heir to the master of the house, then who does she think should be the mistress of the house, the head woman in the house, the queen of the house, if you will? Well, it certainly shouldn't be this old, dried-up, barren Sarah over here. I'm the one, Hagar says, that can produce a son for Abraham. I'm the one that is producing the heir to the master's inheritance. I'm the one that's producing the heir to the promise of Jehovah God. I'm the one. And that caused her to despise Sarah, because Sarah's got still the position and the title of Abraham's wife. Hagar, who is carrying the heir to Abraham's promise in her body, is just a handmaid. You can see how that's not going to work very long. And immediately, You notice the verse says, he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, the child's not even born yet. There isn't even a son yet. As soon as Hagar knew that she had conceived a child with Abraham, she began to despise Sarah. She began to do just what Abraham wanted to do. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. The works that we've produced, this child that we've produced, he should stand before God. He should be the one, and I as his mother should be the one that is the mistress of the household, not Sarah. And Ishmael and Hagar begin to persecute Sarah and Isaac. As it was then, Paul says, so is it now. He that was born of the flesh persecuted he that's born of the Spirit. Look to chapter 21 and verse 8. Chapter 21 and verse number 8. Chapter 21 and verse 8. And the child grew. Now this is Sarah's child, Isaac. If you look back up to verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken unto him. And Abram called the name of his son which was born unto him whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And everybody in Abraham's household is celebrating. And all of his servants and all of his family are rejoicing. Except who? Who is not at all happy the day there's a great celebration when Isaac is weaned? Who is not at all happy that the wife of Abraham has now born a son that is going to be the heir to the promise? Who is furious at this turn of events? Verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. You know what? Between Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael, there's still that problem. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, which she had borne to Abraham, mocking. In other words, she saw Ishmael mocking her son Isaac. She saw, remember Paul said, as it was then, it is now, the son of the flesh persecutes the son of the promise, the son of spirit, the spirit, the son of the flesh is mocking. Look at him. He's just being weaned. He's just a baby. Therefore she said unto Abraham, verse 10, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman, Isaac, Ishmael shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, Isaac. Turn back to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. The law and the works of the law will always persecute the Spirit, the work of God. Will always mock the Word of God. Will always mock the work of God. Oh, salvation can't be that simple. You say that you're saved by grace through faith. You say that it's a gift of God. You say that it's through no effort of your own. You say that it's not even just lifting your little finger. You say that it's just trusting what Christ did. You say that it's that simple. It can't be. Your flesh says, as Abraham did, "Oh, that the works of your flesh might live." Your flesh says to God, "Oh, that my efforts might stand before you." It cannot be as easy as just believe and be saved. The son of the bondwoman persecutes the son of the free woman. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? What needed to be done back there to solve this conflict, to get rid of this persecution? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And her son, it represents the works of your flesh. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Those works. You see, the son, Ishmael, is the work of the flesh of Abraham and Hagar. Cast out that bondwoman. Cast out her son, the works of your flesh. Cast out that bondwoman, the flesh. Cast out that son, the works of your flesh. For ye, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And Paul uses that illustration in Galatians chapter 4 to say just that to the churches of Galatia. That it is not the works and the efforts of your flesh that perfect your salvation. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if you watch our broadcast regularly, you know at the beginning of our program every week, there's a verse that comes up on the screen. And it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our program, our broadcast, our ministry is called Grace Alive. Because the focus in our ministry is not just on understanding grace as a concept or understanding grace as a dispensational theological study. But our focus is in understanding that God's grace should live in your life. Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. When you were crucified, at the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Him, placed you into His death, burial, and resurrection. His death became your death. His burial became your burial. His resurrection became your resurrection. And you became crucified with Him. Nevertheless, you live because His resurrection also becomes yours. Yet it's not you that live anymore. When you were crucified with Him, the old man died, who you were died, and a new man. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What was resurrected up was not you, but Christ. And His life now in you. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, gave His life for you, that He might give His life to you, that He might live His life through you. It's not the efforts of your flesh. It's Christ living through you. Your flesh is just the vehicle. It's just the visible representation of the life of Christ on planet Earth. But it's not the works of your flesh. It's His life in you. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Verse 13, we have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Because it's not you, but Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast out the works and the efforts of your flesh. Your flesh is crucified with Christ. Cast out those efforts of the flesh. And by faith, allow the life of Christ to live through you. Allow that life that God gave to you to live through you. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Be the heir of the free woman. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. If you contact us in any one of those ways this week, of course, we'd be glad to answer any questions or hear any comments that you might have about the program. Also, if you write this week, we'd be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month series of studies we've just completed, Kick the Old Woman Out. Just write and request it, mention that topic, and we'll get those out to you right away without any cost or obligation. We trust that this study has been edifying for you, and we trust also that you'll be tuned in again next week. We'll begin a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, and we look forward to seeing you then. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.